This is a nice Tanakh.
Fresh.
What? Fresh. I didn't mean this particular volume, I meant the edition. Okay, so we're up to Perakimel. We saw last week about how Eov slowly cracked from the initial seeing God as having given us many things, but not our own life and our own health. Hashem natan v'Hashem lakach yishem Hashem mevarach, to eventually him seeing God causing him suffering as Ra, because after all, if God didn't give us our health, then he doesn't have the right to take it away. And then finally, when his friends highlight the distance that now has developed between he and them, so then he finally falls apart. The end of Perek Beis, Achareichen, Patach Iov et Pio, Vayikalel et Yomo. Vayan Iov Vayomar. Iov speaks, and he says, Yovad Yomi Valedbo, V'halayla Amar Horagother. What does Iov curse?
Day of his birth.
The day of his birth. The day and? The night of his birth. The day and the night of his birth. Hayom Hahu Yehi Choshech. Al Yidrasheu Elohim Imal V'al Tofa Alav Nehara Yigaluhu Choshech V'tzalmav Etishkon Alav Anana Yivatuhu Kimirei Yom Halayla Hu Yikacheu Ofel Al Yichad Bimei Shana B'mispar Yirachim Al Yavo Hine Halayla Hu Yihi Galmud Al Tavo Rinanavo Yikevuhu Orei Yom Atidim Orei Leviatan Yichishchu Kochvei Nishpo Yikav L'Or V'Ayin. What's the relationship between all these psukim here, Gimel through Chet? If you had to divide them up. What's the difference between Gimel and Dalet versus Hay through Chet?
Day and night.
Gimel and Dalet, he's cursing the day he was born. And Pasuk Hay, he's cursing. And on the night he was born. Right, they're developing Pasuk Bet, which spoke about Yom and Laila. So how does he curse the day? The day should be full of darkness. No light should come to it. That would be a curse for a day, right? What's the curse for dark, for night? That's very strange, right? You're already dark. It should remain dark forever. It should have no joy. Pasuk Chet. It should seek light, but not have it. Yikav l'or v'ayin, v'al yireh ba'afapeh shachar. Why is he angry at the day and night he was born? You guys ever heard of the phrase, to curse the day he was born? Here you go, right? What does it mean? Curse the day I was born. I don't understand. Why is he angry at the day he was born? So he says, Pasuk Tet, why is it cursed? Ki lo sagar dalte vitni, for not closing the doors of my womb, meaning his mother's womb. Vayaster amal me'enai, would have hidden the suffering from my eyes. Lama lo me'rechem amut mi'beten yatzati ve'egva. Why didn't I die straight out of the womb? Madua kidmuni virkaye muma shadayim ki'ena. Why did the knees welcome me, and what are the breasts for me to nurse? Ki ata shachafti ve'eshkot yashanti az yanuachli. Now, I'm going to lie down and be quiet. I'm going to have gone to sleep. Then it will be restful for me. Death is this great moment. Why is death this great moment? So now he describes it in Pasuk Gimel and on. Im milachim v'yoetzei aretz habonim charavot lamo. O im sarim zahav lahem hamimalim vatehem kasef. O kinefel tamun lo eyeh keolalim lo rao or. Sham Rishaim Chadlu Rogez Visham Yanuchu Yigi Echoach. Reminds you of something? Yachad Asirim Shaananu Velo Shamu Kol Noges Katon Vigadol Shamhu Fe'evid Chavshi Me'adonav. What's he describing about death? Psukim Yud Gimel through Yud Chet. Death is what? Escape from what? Well, that may be true, but that's not what he's saying here. What's he saying here in these psukim? Death is the great equalizer. Right? Melachim v'yoatzei aretz, the kings and the advisors of the land, Im melachim v'yotzei aretz, habonim charavot lamo. Those who build the hovels for themselves. O im sarim zahav lahem, with the ministers who have gold for themselves, hamimalim bateim kesef. They lie down together with those who fill their homes with money. So number one, it's the only point where all men are equal. Men are not created equal. They die equally. What else does he say about death? Ted Zion and on. What are you talking about in Ted Zion and on? Death is...
Which was it?
I said Ted Zion and on. Sorry?
It's going to happen to everybody.
That's true, but not what he's saying here. Death brings what?
Like ease, yeah.
It brings rest. It brings rest from what?
Troubles, suffering.
From oppression. Shem Rishayim Chadlu Rogez. Did Rishayim stop their attacks? Shem Yanuch Yigiyei Koach Yachad Asirim Shanan. The prisoners can finally rest. Lo Shemu Kol Nogeis. They don't hear the voice of the oppressor. Death, A, brings equality and it brings freedom. Katan v'gadol shamhu v'eved chofshi me'advanav. And that's finally where the slave is free from his master. Let's take a step back. Eov is cursing the day he was born because life is terrible and death would bring peace. It's interesting. V'sham yanuchu yegiyei choach. Pasuk tzayin. Of course, we use that phrase where? In reference to Shabbos. We talk about Shabbos being me'ein olam haba. It's a little like death, Shabbos. A little bit like death, Shabbos. Why is Shabbos like death?
Because you rest.
Because you get to rest, right? And the competition stops. Yeah. It's like the yellow flag. Any racing fans? Yeah. Now, the yellow flag is a proof that racing is for goyim. What happens when you have the yellow flag? Everyone stays in their place. Come on, if Eden were racing, what would happen in the yellow flag? Let's be serious. Kind of like what happens by the, easy pass lanes, or the one lane entry into the tunnel of the bridge, right? You got all the Eden trying to get in there last minute, right? The yellow flag is for the goyim, for the goyish race cars. The Eden is a perfect opportunity for me to get ahead, right? So, Shabbos, competition stops. You can rest. People are free of their responsibilities. Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Me'ein olam haba. It's a little bit like death. Sham yanuchu yegiyei choach. And there people can rest. Okay, so why he longs for death, you can understand. Part of the problem, you see, this is hard for us to understand. Because most of you are at the high point of life. What do I mean, the high point of life? Right. What responsibilities do you guys have? No responsibilities. That was before you came to yeshiva. Oh, Rahman al-Islam, right? You're going to yeshiva, right? But beforehand, you're living the high life. Most of you, your parents still support you. They pay your tuition. They pay for your food. That's the big scam. I spoke about the scam, right? In Kohelas, no? The scam of working for your own money. And when you work and you make money. So it's your money. Of course, who pays your rent? Who pays for your food, your electricity, your water, all your needs? Well, many people this age, their parents pay for their needs. They have no worries, no responsibilities. Life gets complicated. God put a sex drive into all of us so that we convince us to get married and have children and take on responsibilities and give all our time, energy, money, resources towards our kids. And then you just live your whole life working very hard trying to survive, trying to make things work, dealing with problems. Any person with children and responsibilities knows what Eov is talking about, the difficulties of life. But it's particularly true for Eov. But the question is, why the day he was born? Why do we have that phrase? Now the truth is, there's another example of Tanakh where somebody curses the day he was born. He curses more than the day he was born. Anyone knows what it is? Anyone knows who it is? Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu I remember correctly, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yudalet. Or Hayom Asher Yuladati Bo. Cursed is the day I was born. Yom Asher Yuladatni Mi Al Yehi Baruch. The day when my mother gave birth to me should not be blessed. Yirmiyah continues, Pasuk Devav. Or Ha'ish Asher Bisaret Avi Lemor. Yulad Lecha Ben Zachar Sameich Simchao. Cursed is the person who told my father that he had a baby boy. V'haya Ha'ish Ahu Ke'arim Asher Afach Hashem. That person should be like Sodom and Amorah. For not having killed me in the womb, my mother could have been my burial place. Yirmiyah had a very tough time. He was in a pit. He was thrown in jail for his prophecy. Why did the guy tell my father I was born? Makes you kind of want to be careful, right? Not to tell anyone anything about a boy child being born. Why is he cursing the man who gave out the cigars? What do you think, Mike?
Not sure.
Because it's a phrase we know before Yirmiyah and Eov, right? It didn't come before that, but we know it ourselves. We use it, right?
Not the Yirmiyah one.
I
never heard
the
Yirmiyah.
Right, I just meant cursing the day I was born, the general one.
Yeah.
The general comes and it. What did he do? Anyone? So tell you what I think the answer is. We're speculating, right? So I'm totally wrong. You can have your own opinion too. But I'll tell you what I think the answer is. Who is Eov and Yirmiyah? Who are they really angry at? Are they angry at the day he was born? It's an inanimate amount of time. Yirmiyah is angry at the reality. He's angry that it exists this way. He's really angry at God. But people have a hard time cursing God. It takes a lot of guts, right? So who do we curse instead?
The day we were born.
We curse the messenger. The day we were born, the person who gave out the cigars. Right? Don't shoot the messenger, man. It's kind of like Lashon Hara. When you come to yeshiva, you start learning about this thing called Lashon Hara. Ooh, I mean, I don't mean you learn what it is. You know what it is before. You do it very well before. I mean, you learn that it's a problem. So again, it's one thing to stop saying Lashon Hara. That's very hard. It's very hard to stop saying Lashon Hara. But it's Lashon Hara. So what do we do as a pshara? So say, there's a guy in Yeshiva Dakota. He's from Toronto. He wears glasses. I'm not telling you his name. I'll tell you what he did. You do everything but what? That person's name. A real close friend of mine. He might be Ra. I didn't say Lashon Hara, because we have these moral restraints that keep us from, you know, saying it like it is. So instead, we more or less say the same thing. Why am I alive? And the cat comes out of the bag in Pasuk Yutet. Eov says, "Lama yitain la'amel or v'chayim lamari nafesh." Translate that pasuk for me, anyone. Anyone?
Why
is he Hiki Masabi? Lama Yitain. You see how he moves from cursing to questioning. And this is the difference between Eov and Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah just said, darn. Eov said, why? Why is the world this way? Lama Yitain La'amel or V'chaim L'mari Nafesh. Pasuk Yutet is important also because it's where Eov moves from his own reality to addressing a broader issue, and this is what's important here. It's not about me. It's true that his situation gets him to consider the broader issues, but it's a broader issue. There are people whose lives are full of suffering. There are people whose lives are bitter. Lam yitain l'amel or v'chaim l'mari nafesh. Why does God give life to people whose lives are going to be about suffering? Now you might say, it's not true. Life is really great. They misunderstand it, right? And the truth is, it's very hard to quantify. Is life good or bad? What's Eov's assumption? What are his questions meant to lead to? Is he just asking questions? I don't think so. I think Eov has developed a certain belief. What belief do you think Eov has developed? What belief might you develop if you were in this case? Yes?
I think he had like the before that he always like thought that life was good, so he's asking mm-hmm. how can these bad things be good?
And
some
if
way.
This is what it is, then maybe life isn't good. We are trained from a very young age as religious people. Life is good, the world is good, more importantly, God is good, right? Why was the world created? Because God wants to do good, right? Because God was a big chesed, you know. God is a seminary girl. He had to do chesed on Monday afternoon. You know, couldn't find what else to do, so he created the world so that he could give good to everyone. God is good, hallelujah, right? That's what we're taught. And we're not going to let the reality get in the way of that assumption, right? But what happens if a person looks at reality and says, life is not so good? Well, what does that imply? There's a lot of suffering in this world. You know how the Christians accounted for that, by the way? How do the Christians explain all the bad in this world? God is good, right?
We're supposed to suffer.
Christians say we're supposed to suffer. Where does the suffering come from? I meant to put a couple more. They got jammed in the machine, so people use one for two. Anyone know how Christians explain all the suffering and bad things and sin in this world? Nah, I kind of gave it away.
Yeah, original sin.
Satan. Satan. And the truth is, what's the source for this difference between God and Satan? Ego. There's a struggle in this world between the forces of good, God and his angels who have white wings, and Satan and his devils. Right? Now, at least that way you can think God is good, right? I just suffering in the world. God doesn't want there to be suffering. God wants everyone to enjoy life. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim here, Perek Yud Beis, he says, Rabot Allah b'dinyon ha'amon ki harbaot ba'olam yoter min hatovot. There are many people who think that the bad in this world is more than the good. Ad shebeharbei mehet tipot kol ha'amin hatafot kol ha'amin uveshireyem kololim inyan zeh. Till a lot of the speeches, the philosophy and songs of different nations are really dirges about this. How much of our literature, of our art, of our music is about pain? It's about suffering. That's the emotion we feel most strongly, more than love. Most songs about love are about lost love. I can tell you the songs from my day, but you know, they won't mean anything to you. One of the most resonant songs when I was growing up was a song by Rod Stewart. It's called Some Guys Have All the Luck. Who knows it? Anyway, you can give the modern day versions of it. There's a song by John Waits in my day called Missing You. Anyone hear the song? I ain't missing you. I ain't missing you at all. Of course, what is he? Missing her very, very much. I am a rock, I am an island. Why is he a rock and an island? Because he's been hurt. He wants to be someone who feels no pain. There's so much pain in this world. They say that it would be amazing to find in the world real good. The bad is much and common. By the way, the Rambam lived in the Middle Ages. Right, bring out your dead. You know what I mean? Bring out your dead. It was not a very wonderful life. And by the way, today is it different? You know that over 50% of the world's children live below the poverty level. In the United States of America, there are people who live with nothing. You guys happen to be lucky to live in the best period in the history of the world, in the best countries in this period, from the socioeconomic classes that are lucky. If you had lived in America in the 1910s as a Jew, you wouldn't look at life the same way. You look at these pictures from Haiti. Right? I'm not talking about just the fact that there was an earthquake. The place is a mess. Why did God make Haiti? What's the plan for those people? Chmanis. If you can get Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and George Bush to agree on something, it must be something pretty sad. When they spoke to George, everyone spoke, you know, Bill Clinton spoke, you know, professionally, Obama spoke like Obama. Bush gets up, he says, "Don't give blankets, give cash." He's from Texas, you know what I mean? Like he didn't say with like a gun in his hand. I'm going to come around, I expect everyone to give. Why does God create the people in Haiti? Even by the philosophers. Yesh la Al-Razi. Al-Razi is one of the most famous Arabic philosophers. Sefer Mefursim Ukaru, whatever. Kala Obama has Yotav Sikhli Otav Dolot. He included in it his views. Michlal and Idan Asher Badawsam. The stuff he created on his own, which included Vuhu Shaharab Mitziyut Yotar Latov. The center of his philosophy was that the bad in the world is more than the good. If you equate between the peace and enjoyment that a person has in his periods of calm, if you weigh that opposite the pain, suffering, sickness, defects, worries, sadness and failures. Az timtzaki mitziuto klomar ha'adam nikama. You'll reach the conclusion that man's existence is out of vengeance, is to cause him pain. What basis do we have of assuming that God is a seminary girl and not a gangster? And that our existence is in order for us to benefit from his goodness and not to suffer at his hands. Maybe we're a bunch of guinea pigs. I wonder if guinea pigs think that their masters are there to give them good. Good drugs. Every damn master's coming, they inject us with this yummy red stuff. Right? And they feed us this yummy tasting food. Poor guinea pigs, no? You think their existence is for the good? What? It's really, right. Maybe we enjoy making them suffer. Right? It's a chicken fight. What are they called? They have the chickens wrestle or whatever. Cockfights. It's for your own good. Get out there. Right? We want to teach the dogs to run fast when they run around the track. There we go, right?
Yeah.
You know, what happens to a horse? A race horse. Runs fast. What happens when he finally breaks his leg? We shouldn't make him into glue. If the horses knew the risks that they face by running fast, they'd probably run a little slower. They'd be careful not to hurt each other. Hey guys, we're all going to finish this race. Take it slow. Just make sure nobody gets hurt. There are situations where people, and the racehorses are taken care of, they're showered, they're shaved, right, kept like royalty, till they break a leg. Then they're glue. So, what are we here for? Al-Razi came to the conclusion that the existence of man is vengeance. The Ra'a Rabba Manat Chalko V'him Shich La'amet Ashkafa Azu B'Skirat HaNivgayim Halalu. That Al-Razi aimed to contrast, to disagree with the whole philosophy of God being the source of good. V'sibat kol ha'tovot hazu, says the Rambam, and the root of this mistake is b'nei sha'asachal hazeh v'domav min ha'amon einam bochnim et ha'metziyut. They don't look at the reality objectively and properly. They look at it through a man's eyes. They look at it subjectively. They're not able to judge reality properly. And the Rambam is bringing up a correct point. How do you determine if life is good or bad? This is a major issue in our own time. I remember when I was a kid, I don't think parents say this anymore, my parents would say, you know that in India they would give an arm and a leg for that bowl of rice. Is your parents ever said it to you? I imagine trading stations. where people would show up for rice. Yeah, look at, they'd give an arm and a leg. I'm thinking, wow, India, man. In all seriousness, you know, in the backwoods of China, if a person had an extra bowl of rice, it's a yom tif. In Los Angeles, if the VCR button, you know, the rewind button breaks, how could God be so mean to me? Understand, I want to watch a movie here and it's not working. You understand? Blockbuster closed 10 minutes early. A chutzpah. There's no justice in this world. No offense to Los Angeles in particular. You understand what I'm saying, right? How could this be? It dipped below 50 degrees in the winter? God has no care for us. Vindictive God he is. My point is, how do you judge if we have... Where's the zero point? That above which is good and below which is negative. So how does Eov deal with this question? How does Eov determine that God isn't interested in our good? That life isn't good?
He's trying hard, but he's still getting more and more suffering.
That's interesting, but not what he says.
That he was born.
Okay, well, maybe he doesn't see the big picture. He's not just talking about himself. He's talking about it as a general phenomenon. He points to who? To people who wish they were dead. If there are people who wish they were dead, how could their lives be good? And we could get into objective, subjective, but how could God allow people to be in situations, not one individual, masses of people who wish they weren't alive? Who wait for death, but it does not arrive. They dig for it more than jewels and diamonds, more than treasures. Those who are happy that they're getting older, they're happy because they're finding their own grave. One of the secrets of our civilization, suicide. No one talks about suicide. It's dangerous. People might find a way out. It's a societal conspiracy. There are people who commit suicide. Most people are afraid to. It's like, what does that mean? You know what the punishment in Poland is for suicide? When I was a kid, we were allowed to tell jokes about the Polish people. I think it was part of our revenge, you know, against the Polacks. Now, the truth is, when I went to Poland, I saw that a lot of these jokes are true. You guys, when you were in Poland, did you notice that the toilet paper is not in the stalls, but by the sinks? But that sounds like a Polish joke to me. I just forgot how to say it, how to tell it, because you'd be like, well, that's just stupid. There you go, right? When I was a kid, they used to say, what's the punishment for attempted suicide in Poland?
Death penalty.
Meaning... Most people can't pull the trigger. But how many people wait to be redeemed? And what does that mean about life? And again, this is hard for us to imagine. Baruch Hashem, we should never feel this way. But there's a lot of people whose lives aren't this way. I remember, I have a friend whose father, I think I told the story, whose father was a normal guy, wonderful guy, everything good in his life, blah, 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 blah. One day he was in a car accident, he became a quadriplegic. Now again, there's hundreds of thousands of people in these kind of situations. It just happens to be someone I knew. What was his life? And he lived for 10 years. Why is he alive? Why does God make it possible to live in that kind of situation? Why does God allow for the birth of people who are defective, right? Who are physically, you know, without arms and legs, all kinds of sicknesses? Why? If God wants to kill people, okay, I'm saying, why does death, I understand this. I'm not even talking about people who physically they're okay, but mentally they're not okay. Or physically and mentally they're okay, but the situations that they find themselves in are ones that their lives are just miserable. Why is life that way? I mean, Eov is not just asking, my name is Job, my life is a bummer. He's saying, why are there so many people whose lives are this way? And now he gets to the real climax of what he wants to say. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Legever asher darko nistara. Vayasach eloka Bado. What does Pasuk Chaf Beis mean? What is the most frustrating possible form of life? To be a man whose path is hidden. What does it mean his path is hidden? What do you mean doesn't know the future? So that would be everyone, right? I think it means more than this. Nobody knows the future.
Some guys, can they sit on the
chair? Sure they can sit on the chair. Come right in. Oh, a lot of guests. Wow, Eden. Where are you guys from?
DRS.
I've heard of it. You escaped from the trip, I assume. Does Rabbi Willig know that you escaped from the trip?
I believe so.
You went out the back door, I assume. Okay, welcome. We need more chairs. We got three chairs over there. So we got seats for three in the blues on the other side. Oh, Ariel's bringing the chairs across. Who is a man whose path is blocked? See, it's one thing if you're suffering and you're in a difficult situation, but you believe you can get out. You believe you can make it better. What about if a person can't figure out how to get out? Or even worse, he thinks there's no way for him to get out. How frustrating is that? We know people in these kind of situations, or we know of them, who feel there's no way out. Now, why would there be no way out? Why would a person reach the conclusion that they have no way out? There was such a movie, No Way Out, a long time ago, whatever. Okay, yeah. Why would a person feel that way? Yes?
Because he feels that God doesn't want to put it out.
Because he feels that God is blocking the door. It's like when you have a vindictive teacher. The teacher hates me. I've gotten that from my kids. What if it's really true? What if the teacher really does hate you? So it's not how well you do your homework or how well you come prepared to class. There's no way out. And what if you go to the principal and the principal says, I trust the teacher? Uh-oh. Right? You guys want to hear a funny story? Many, many years ago, I was once teaching in some organization. I want to make it clear, whatever. I'm going to be vague. And I felt that there was a certain problem how they were dealing with things. So I went to the person at the top. And I told him, I said, look, I think there's a problem, such and, you know, the way it's being run, you know, by the person, you know, below you, it's not so good. He goes, you know what? Before I talk to you further, let me investigate, I'll get back to you. He called me back 2 weeks later. He said, I checked with the person in between. I'm like, oh my God. He goes, he assured me everything's running right. That's not a very efficient way of, you know, of getting feedback, would you say? But what's your feeling then about the possibility of it becoming better? What if that's your life? Who might have felt that way in this case? Eov. Eov, it's pretty clear to Eov that what's happening to him is happening because God wants it to happen, right? Boom, one after another, one after another, one after another. So how do you get out of that? How do you make your life better if God wants it to be bad? And what are the implications of that about life and about God? These are big questions, right? Ki lefnei lachmi anchati tavo vayitchu chamayim sha'agotai. My cries come out like water from my heart. Ki fachad pachadati vayetoyeni. I had a fear and it caught up with me. Vasher yagorti yavoli. And what I was afraid of reached me. Lo shalafti velo shakatati velo nachti. I couldn't be calm. I couldn't be at peace. And finally, vayavo roges. He describes him being terrified of this all along. Why was he terrified of this all along? Yehov is getting to a deeper point here, which is very important. And that is, even when our lives are good, if we're aware of the fact that there are people out there whose lives aren't good, when you see people getting laid off from work, that's a pretty scary thing, right? What does it remind you of? You can get laid off from work, right? Number of years ago, there were these things in Yehuda Shomron in Israel where Arabs would walk into people's houses and butcher the whole family. I don't know if you ever saw it. It happened a number of times. in the neighborhoods where I live, you know, around there. You think you sleep at night? In Baruch Hashem, everything's okay. You think you sleep at night? When you know what's out there, what does it do to your life? I was in London recently. So the house has a fancy alarm system. I assume it's true in any major city. We have to alarm it and put the code in, and then, you know, it's all a little fancy thing. So one night I was up late, they asked me to alarm the house. The father of the house came into the room where I was sleeping four times during the night to make sure I had put the code on. I had put the code on. You couldn't sleep. Because you don't have that alarm on. You know what can happen, right? So what is life with all these fears? It's not just if you're eventually down, it's the fears of being brought down. Why is life that way? Asks Eov. And his answer is, it must be that if this is the way it is, it's the way God wants it to be. And if that's what God wants it to be, what does it say? And what is the best proof from the Sefer, of the part of the Sefer we've learned thus far, that Eov is right? What's the best proof that Eov is right? Yes. God says, Sutton, isn't Eov a great guy? And the son says, I don't think so. Give me a shot at him. Now God thinks he's good, right? Now God, you assume, you know, God thinks he's good, he must be good, right? God says, well, okay, go get him. How do we account for the story that's told us in the beginning of the Sefer? How do we account for the results that we see in our own lives? The reason why Eov is an important Sefer is because it puts the real questions on the table. How do we explain the suffering that we see so much of in our world? Now, the problem is that most of us are protected from, or cushioned from. We don't see it. We're not exposed to it. So we're not used to having to take account for it. And then when something bad, chas v'shalom, happens to someone, his whole religion, his whole life falls apart. I think I mentioned this in the past. You know, every year there are people who come to me, my grandfather's sick, my grandmother passed away. How could it be? How could God do this? And I always say, well, you weren't bothered before by the Holocaust? Why aren't we bothered by the Holocaust? It's not me. It's the Holocaust. Fine, say. It's the things we confront. And even things that are much less than that. People dying at age 86. They rock us. Why is it? Why does a person have to suffer this way? To see a person suffering. Why does God allow for suffering? You want someone to die? Let him die. So this is a major question. We'll have to see next week how Eliphaz responds. Eliphaz is the first of Eov's three friends to speak. Basically, the debate in Sefer Eov, which is the bulk of the Sefer from Perek Gimel through Perek Mem Aleph. The debate begins with a debate between Eov and his three friends. His friends are, we saw them introduced in the end of Perek Beit. What were the names? Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofar. When I mentioned last week that I think the simplest pshat is that Eov took place in the time of the Avos, we talked about Utz being a son of Yishmael. How about Eliphaz? We know the name Eliphaz. He was the grandson of Esau. We know him from the Medrash, right? So these names are very biblical, Avos, time period kind of people. Now, the debate goes back and forth. Dalet and Hey Eliphaz speaks. Then Eov answers him in Perek Vav. And Zion and Chet, in Vav and Zion, excuse me. Perek Chet, Bildad speaks. Then Eov answers him in Tet, Yud. And then Yud Aleph, so far speaks. Then Eov answers him, very lengthy end of the first round. And then there's two more rounds. Each round has the three of them speaking and Eov responding. Now, similarly, if there's three different people speaking and Tanakh records each one, it's because each one has its own uniqueness to it, right? Each one has its own message. And we're going to try and figure out what each one of the defenses are. To a very, much, to a very large extent, it's like a debate. There's three different people, just it's three on one. Right? The dream or nightmare for a debater to be the only one. One against three. I mean, Eov actually does a pretty good job of trying to figure out how we explain suffering in this world and what it implies about God. What it implies about the goals of this world. Okay, we'll continue next week. So hopefully people had a chance to learn Prakim Dalet and Hey on their own. Next week we'll try and do Dalet and Hey and Vav and Zayin, meaning Eliphaz's speech and Eov's response. This week we're just getting started with it. So we'll get into it. Now, there's another sheet. Should I give it out now? People are going to bring it back. Give it out next week. It's anonymous. We'll give it out next week.